and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to Melissa Wyakowski, who is the Executive Director of the Guelph Community Health Center, and Ruth Cameron, who is the Executive Director of the AIDS Committee of Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo, and Area, otherwise known by the charming acronym AQUA. These two people and the groups that they represent are now working together to fill the void left by the HIV/AIDS Resource and Community Health, or ARCH, when it suddenly announced its closure last week. Losing ARCH impacts a wide variety of people in Guelph and area, whether that's HIV prevention and care, needle exchanges and harm reduction, or gender-affirming and trans healthcare. For these people, ARCH has been the first and only place they could turn for help. So how are Guelph CHC and AQUA planning to keep up those services for the people in need? That is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. ARCH Guelph was a pretty big part of the local healthcare picture for decades, emerging at a time when there was not just a tremendous stigma for people diagnosed with HIV, but it was when HIV infection was almost certainly a death sentence. ARCH was radical at the time of its inception. It was inclusive, sex-positive, anti-oppressive, and it focused on harm reduction as the first line of defense. And for members of the queer community, ARCH was especially important, especially in the realm of gender-affirming care, because many trans activists will tell you that even in 2024, it is hard to find a doctor that will take you as you are and not as the biological sex you were born as. ARCH was ahead of its time. And it's been clear for a while that time was running out. That's why it was a shock, but not necessarily surprising last week when it was announced that ARCH was closing. A lot of the clinical services that they offered had already moved to Guelph Community Health Center, which was one of ARCH's many community partners, but a direction from the Ontario Ministry of Health made it official last week. And that's where the AIDS Committee of Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo, and Area enters the picture, with the two organizations now sharing the work previously carried out by ARCH, and for the last few weeks they've been trying to get that word out to all of ARCH's clients, as well as the broader community. But there's something so impersonal about press releases and articles, isn't there? Is it not better to sit down and have a chat and lay it all out as we talk about what's changing, who's in charge of what, and how it will look for all those in the greater Guelph community who need these vital services? Well, I certainly thought so. And that's why we are joined this week by Ruth Cameron and Melissa Kwiatkowski on this edition of the Guelph Politicast, as they talk about all the changes to the delivery of services formerly covered by ARCH, the division of labor between CHC and AQUA, and how new clients needing those services can best access the help that they need. We will also talk about the history of HIV/AIDS medical care in the region, how AQUA will keep up the advocacy and educational services, and their plans to add a G to their already long acronym in the future. And finally, we will talk about how community health is managing with the increasing number of services that they provide, and how they are working to stay on top of fixing social determinants of health and not just the actual health issues. So I caught up with Ruth Cameron and Melissa Kwiatkowski earlier this week via Zoom.
I'm Melissa Kwiatkowski. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm the CEO at the Guelph Community Health Center.
Hello, my name is Ruth Cameron. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm the executive director of AQUA, which is the AIDS Committee of Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo, and Area, now serving Guelph.
And Ruth, I'll start with you just because, you know, here in Guelph, we had our own organization that was dedicated to the cause of promoting and helping people with HIV and other health issues. So just for the benefit of Guelphites listening, would you mind introducing an AQUA and talk a bit about the background of your organization?
Yes, AQUA has been serving communities in Waterloo region for 37 years now. It started in 1987, much like ARCH and other HIV/AIDS organizations across the province, a group of leaders in the community, volunteers, some clinicians, some faith leaders came together to, on a voluntary basis, start support services for people who were living with HIV and dealing with the AIDS crisis, much like all of the other organizations across Ontario. These organizations shifted in their focus from that support services solely to doing a lot of education and prevention work, and now having a series of very specific programs supporting the communities that are made most vulnerable to HIV in our province and in our country. So the services that we provide will look familiar to individuals as we start. What we're hoping to do, however, is start with that very important central focus, the HIV support services.
Perfect. And Melissa, I'm going to turn to you to sort of start the story here locally. At what part or what point were you made aware that HIV Arch Guelph was going to be closing, and when did community health and well, we'll get to Aqua in a sec, but when did community health sort of begin the process of stepping up to fill the void?
Thanks, Adam. We were notified quite recently by the Ministry of Health of that the funding that they provide to ARCH would be terminating as of March 31st. And we were asked to provide a portion of the service that ARCH was providing in the community. The service that we were asked to enter into a new agreement with the ministry as of April 1st on was really a portion of the harm reduction services. So this is the StaySharp needle exchange program that ARCH was operating. It works for us. It was operating out of one of our locations already. We were working alongside the staff. And so we're really like our focus right now is just on ensuring continuity for people that are relying on these services. And so we're really happy that we've been able to just maintain the service with no service interruptions.
And Ruth, going back to you, how does how did Aqua end up connecting with Guelph Community Health? And yeah, I guess that's the question is I guess it's sort of a natural expansion given where you're located.
Yes. So I'm happy to say that we have an existing partnership with the Guelph Community Health Centre. The Guelph Community Health Centre operates the HIV clinic that supports not only individuals who are living with HIV in the Guelph area, but also for individuals who are living with HIV in the entirety of Waterloo region, for people who are interested in having their HIV clinical care happen at, through the CHC. So that existing partnership is one that operates out of our Kitchener office and is working to expand into our Cambridge office as well. So we have a really great partnership already supporting those individuals who are living with HIV. And we're going to look to ways that we can expand what already exists in terms of our partnership in Guelph.
And while I have you on my screen, Ruth, how many offices does Aqua have presently?
At this time, we have two offices, one
Okay.
in Kitchener and one in Cambridge, though we do provide services all over Waterloo region.
Gotcha. Melissa, I'm going to turn to you now again. You've mentioned that, you know, the Ministry of Health asked you to sort of fill in on the needle exchange program, owing to the fact that this is kind of a harm reduction is already something that people are probably aware Guelph Community Health is deeply involved in. Is it sounds like this is kind of all came together pretty quickly, but is there like I guess in terms of the partnership with Aqua, do you guys have like a I guess a separation of powers, as it were? Like you have like community health is taking care of one set of services and Aqua is taking care of another set of services, or is this more of a I guess a combined effort?
Yeah, I think it would be good to clarify because we really appreciate when clients accessing our services don't know which provider or organization is providing what. That's how we want it to feel for clients. But I think it is really important to clarify the funding agreements for a conversation like this. So as of April 1st last year, 2023, the ministry directed that the Guelph Community Health Center would take on the clinical services. So, for about a year now, we've been running HIV clinical services, as Ruth mentioned, in Guelph, Wellington, Dufferin, Grey, and Waterloo region. And that's the partnership Ruth was talking about, where we bring the clinical services and Aqua brings in the support, education, community development. And that's how the partnership has worked for the past year on the Waterloo Region side. At that same time last year, we also were directed to take on the gender-affirming care health services. So we've been running both of those services for 1 year now. And that's really where our relationship with Aqua started, was partnering on the Waterloo Region side once we took on those HIV clinical services. So we have a model and a framework that's working really well where I would say each of us has our lane that we're in, but we integrate it so it feels like to the client that they're being served by one team. So likewise, now that we are have been directed to take on these services on the Guelph side, we will be kind of applying that same model and framework, which is we will continue to deliver the HIV clinical services and gender affirming care services. And Aqua will be bringing in the support services, and we'll be looking at ways we can make that feel really integrated for clients as well.
Okay, well that's really clear. But I want to go deeper. Ruth, when Melissa's talking about how Aqua's offering support, what does support look like from Aqua's end in terms of that, I guess from the education and outreach and advocacy pieces? What are you doing?
Love to speak about that. I feel really passionate about the HIV support services and really proud of what our team is able to deliver to people in the community. HIV support services is a wide range of services. That includes everything from offering people hopefully a very safe, culturally competent landing space when they are very new to their HIV diagnosis. People may be experiencing a lot of feelings, and they may experience some negative feelings in, that have to do with some stereotypes and self-stigma that occurs from those stereotypes when it comes to, unfortunately, some common misconceptions about HIV and living with HIV. Because of that, we really want to have a welcoming and engaging environment for people who are new to a diagnosis, offer them opportunities if they desire for peer-to-peer engagement, a buddy program with someone who has been living with HIV for a long time who may challenge some of their ideas about what living with HIV looks like. That person can offer them support with regards to learning about the medication options that the clinical team will be providing them support with, and how to manage taking medication, some of which may have some side effects, though I must insist and let people know that the medications that people have these days are just really amazing advancements in terms of support. People who are living with HIV, we want them to know that they're going to, with well-managed care, live a normal lifespan and in some cases exceed the average lifespan for an individual who's HIV negative because of the specialist care and the complementary care that we can provide them. We want people to know that they can continue with their interests, their careers, that they can have children if they want to, and they can have children who are HIV negative because the medications are that great, and that they are, if they're in a relationship relationship with someone who is not living with HIV, that there is no concern for HIV transmission with well-managed HIV. So there's a huge education component. We also offer social support groups where people can meet with other individuals, share their experiences, and we have a lot of practical assistance. If people are having issues navigating income supports, if people are having issues navigating housing supports, food security, those are other things that we offer as well.
Just to follow up, how much of Aqua's work, and forgive my ignorance, but how much of sort of what your group does every day is kind of on the clinical side, and how much of it is like, I guess, this social aspect of like answering people's questions about what living with HIV looks like and helping people who are facing issues aside from having an HIV diagnosis? Is it like 50-50 or 60-40, or what does it look like?
I would say that for the support services program, which engages with over 700 people who are living with HIV or affected family members, that it would be hard to quantify that. As
Okay.
Melissa said, it can be seamless. So what we often do with regards to our engagement with clinics, it would be that warm handoff over to the clinical services, with permission, of course, for individuals who need a little assistance getting connected. It may be connection to some other healthcare, community health supports in Waterloo region. But again, the clinical team is a really great supporter of ours in terms of getting people connected to other forms of clinical care as well. So it is hard to quantify because there is a wonderful, very seamless back and forth between the two teams from both sides when it comes to supporting individuals.
I do like that expression, warm handoff. It makes me think of an oven mitt that just took a dish out of the oven. Melissa, I do want to come back to Ruth and talk a bit more about, sort of what living with HIV looks like in 2024. But I do want to tackle sort of the expectations of your clients and people who are receiving services. In terms of like making sure, from the sound of things, because Guelph Community Health has been handling these clinical matters for a year now. Theoretically, patients should not notice a difference whether they're receiving HIV care or gender-affirming health care. That's correct.
That's correct. All of those services will be continuing as they have been. So that's a really important message to get out to folks in the community. If you had an appointment, you still have an appointment, you'll still see the same provider you were seeing. I think the really important part that I want to underscore about, what Aqua offers and what Ruth has been talking about is community health centers across Ontario and Canada work on a model of health and well-being, which really addresses social determinants of health. So we can't just offer health services and think that that's going to lead to the health outcomes and health equity that we want to see in communities. And so, we can prescribe the medications, which we do. But as Ruth was saying, like what Aqua's team really does is the medications are very expensive and they're not covered. And so they really will support people in terms of how do we get coverage for those medications. There are lots of options, but they require a lot of paperwork and a lot of navigation. Can people get to their appointments to get access to the
Right.
healthcare that they need? Ruth's team helps with access to transportation, housing. People can't have stable health without access to housing. So these are all the things that our teams work really carefully to make sure that those social determinants of health are being addressed as part of the medical care. And we really rely on that partnership to ensure that we're looking at each individual client holistically and we're meeting their needs.
And in terms of that communication, with the clients, do you have like, I guess, some understanding about, it is like 100% are sort of aware of the changes and are, you know, understand like how the care they've received has changed, or, you know, is there still some outreach that's going on?
Yeah, we're trying our best to have a comprehensive communication strategy. So we did have some press releases go out with information. We have a Q&A document on both of our websites that we developed, Aqua and Guelph CHC and Arch together. And I know Arch put a lot of that out as well last week. We also sent out communications directly to all of the clinical clients of the Guelph Community Health Center directly, letting them know, you know, we've been really trying to get that message out. So we're hopeful that, and social media and all of those pieces, we're hopeful that folks know. And at the end of the day, we've said, if you don't know, you can call, you know, the Guelph Community Health Center or Aqua. And if we don't know the answer, we'll find it for you and make sure that people are connected.
Okay, perfect. I want to kind of break this down to just sort of like the simplest way as possible. Like, if you are someone who is concerned that you are HIV positive and you need to test, or if you're someone who has like long sort of struggled with your gender identity and you sort of want to take the next steps to sort of figure things out, like if you're a potential new client for these services, where do you start? And you know, if, like, let's say today I wanted an HIV test, where do I go? Who do I talk to?
Ruth, you go, and then I'll talk about, we kind of do it on the other side.
I wasn't sure who to direct it to, but yeah.
Once we receive a positive diagnosis. Okay, go ahead, Ruth.
Okay. So at Aqua, I'm happy to say that we do offer people support with rapid HIV tests. So people can actually call us. They can book an appointment on our website. They can even select the team member that they would like to support them with doing a rapid test. The rapid test is a self-test that has been approved in Canada for around 18 months at this time. If individuals want coaching on how to do that test accurately the first time so that they can feel confident doing it, we are happy to provide that to individuals. We'll do both walk-in and appointment-based. We want to make it as accessible as possible.
Perfect. And Melissa, I don't know if you wanted to follow up.
Yeah, I was just going to say there are also testing clinics that public health runs. I believe in both regions. I know for sure Wellington, Dufferin, Guelph Public Health. Where we really get the referral is once someone has a positive test result for HIV, then they would be referred to our clinic and we would see them relatively quickly and make sure that they're getting in and having treatment start right away and getting connected with those support services.
And just from reading some of those press releases and some of that information, and this maybe goes to Ruth first and Melissa can follow up, is Aqua sort of establishing like a kind of permanent presence in Guelph? Like, there's, I know that CHC is giving you guys some space in their office, but I guess I'm looking a bit towards away from this sort of like the immediate to sort of what the future is going to look like. Is Aqua going to be more of a permanent presence in the Guelph community? Are we going to be adding a G to the acronym?
What I can say is that, yes, we will be moving to a permanent space as yet to be determined in Guelph. So we will maintain our offices in Kitchener and Cambridge, and we will establish a Guelph office. We want to make sure that we establish an office that is a convenient location for individuals who require our services and supports in Guelph. We want to make sure it's, accessible and in close proximity to the services offered by the HIV clinic through the Guelph CHC. Again, wanting that as best as we can, seamless service for individuals that doesn't require them to hop, jump through too many hoops.
And Melissa, how's CHC doing for space? You guys are, you know, in a little shop on the corner there, and you keep adding more services.
Yes, we have been growing over the last couple of years. We are lucky in that we own the building, and we have, over time, as tenants have moved out, we have been able to take over some of the existing footprint in our downtown location, which is great. But we have six locations right now, so we're kind of growing and really just responding to needs in the community. The most recent example is our permanent supportive housing project that we're partnering with Kindle and Stonehenge on. And so we're, you know, that's really the mandate of community health centers, is to understand the needs of the community and really develop customized programs to address. So we look very similar to what Ruth said. We really look for locations that are very easily accessible for the clients that we're intending to serve, and removing as many barriers to health access as possible.
Given the challenges we're talking about, I don't think it'd be outside the bounds to say last week was also a good week that CHC and Stonehenge got that $9 million in funding from the province to fund the outreach supports at Kindle. So that's very good news.
Yes. Yeah, we're really happy about that.
Ruth, I'm going to throw it to you again, because I kind of want to take a broader look at, you know, the core of your service, which is the HIV support, because I did a quick look at the stats this morning, and we're seeing rates go up. So in you know, we're talking about, we've made tremendous strides in sort of allowing people to live healthily, even though they have an HIV diagnosis. But and this kind of goes to the stigma piece to it as well, I think. We still kind of have old-fashioned thoughts about what HIV means. At the same time, the fact that rates are going up seems to indicate maybe a bit of a kind of agnostic attitude about the risks of HIV as well. So just, you know, from, you know, your point of view as someone who deals with this in the community, I mean, are we kind of taking HIV as seriously as we used to, even accepting that it's not a terminal diagnosis anymore?
Yes. Thanks for the question. I would say that it's a really, you know, the answer I'm going to give you is that it's a complex issue, and my answer is going to be a bit long-winded. What we are focused on is that we both want to make sure we're offering optimal services for people who are living with HIV. And we want to make sure that we're doing a really great job in terms of education, but social determinants, as Melissa said, are a really important part of our prevention work. You're right. HIV is not on people's radar anymore the way that it was from the 90s through to the early 2000s. What we want to focus on in that is that we have to be really consistent in our messaging about HIV, teaching people the basics about the virus, making sure that we're teaching people about all of the prevention strategies that we have, from the from condoms through to what we call PrEP, taking HIV medication preventatively for individuals who are vulnerable to HIV to avoid acquiring HIV. We want to make sure that people know that well-managed HIV means you cannot transmit HIV. And that includes both sexually, as well as what we call vertical transmission, mother to child transmission. All of those things are important. But what we also need to do, and this is bigger than CHCs and bigger than HIV organizations as community health organizations, is we have to lessen inequality in our society. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the biggest aspect of prevention. People aren't risky, bodies aren't risky, but making people vulnerable by impoverishing them or making it hard for them to escape from various kinds of gender-based violence or not making needle syringe programs really available for everyone who needs them. Those are the things that make people vulnerable to HIV. It's all of these forms of inequality. But when we have amazing healthcare, when we have Ontario Works and ODSP that is adequate for people to live in safe, dignified housing and have food security, and when we have enough funded harm reduction supports everywhere that people need them, then we will eliminate new HIV transmission. So that's the end of my soapbox speech right there.
No, it's a fine soapbox to stand on. And it set me up for a question I wanted to ask Melissa in particular. And it's a question I actually had, or a discussion I had with one of your colleagues at CHC, is that it does seem like all the time I'm hearing about your organization taking on a new service, a new demand, or advocating in the realm of housing, which we don't normally think of as a healthcare service, but I it's something I've heard from a lot of healthcare providers. Housing is healthcare, and it makes me a bit concerned because I just as a community observer, I see a lot of new issues falling on sort of the same community groups, and so I guess what I'm worried about is the healthcare of CHC is like, are you guys able to handle all of these pressures that keep coming at you, all of these demands to like add these new services, and you know, how, you know, is the staff doing okay? I guess it's like, what's the health of the CHC as you keep having to step up and meet these new challenges?
Yeah, there's a lot there in that question. One thing I do want to say is we are really relentless and steadfast in our messaging and pursuit of housing as healthcare. We see that, you know, without addressing the social determinants of health, and I think housing is one of the most important determinants of health, we can't address the root causes of health. And that includes from, you know, a physical health, a mental health, and a substance use health perspective. So we really see that as being the foundation for which healthcare is delivered on. And you're seeing more and more people in the health system taking on a leadership role in housing. There was a great article in the Globe and Mail by Andre Picard, really around hospital in Edmonton, focused on housing. They highlighted University Health Network in Toronto, who's actually building about 50 units of housing on an old hospital parking lot. And so you really are seeing the connection that even like emergency room physicians and family physicians are, and hospitals are seeing the inequity that's happening. And when people have been denied a basic human right of housing, when systems have not provided adequate housing for communities, then the healthcare system is overloaded. And I would say that for, you know, myself included as a staff member of the CHC, for all of the staff at the CHC, that's one of the biggest contributors to burnout, is when you are working in a system that is creating oppression, that is creating these inequities, and we can't do anything about that. And so part of our role as a community health center is advocacy, is really advocating with all levels of government for these needs to be addressed and for human rights to be honored in communities.
Right.
So yes, we, you know, all of us are really struggling working in a system where we see that happening every day, and it creates a real impact for all of us. And, you know, we try our best to take care of one another in that. The piece I would say that is a real challenge right now in the health system, especially for community health organizations, is pay equity with other parts of the system. So, you know, staff working in the same discipline and the same role, doing the same intensity and difficulty of work, you know, working across a hospital to community, for example, there's not pay equity there. And so we are really working with our provincial association and many other community associations at the provincial level to advocate collectively for pay equity for the community sector. There is a huge wage gap that needs to be closed for staff to be sustainable, at least financially in their roles.
Yes, ditto to all that. Maybe to wrap up, you know, losing Arch, which has been a part of this community for decades and offered so many vital and much needed services, it's easy to sort of get lost in the, I guess, the disappointment to watch, you know, something that was an anchor in the community to just sort of, you know, fold up its tent and go to the Internet Archive. But, you know, challenges create opportunities, opportunities create new partnerships like this. So, you know, in the interest of sort of maybe, I guess, ending on a positive note, I guess what is keeping, and Melissa, you're on my screen, so I'll throw it to you first. What's keeping you hopeful these days? Like what's energizing you and helping you, you know, get into the office and do everything you can to help the community on a daily basis? What's sort of keeping your energy up?
The people I work with every day keep my energy up. The amount of passion, care, and attention that people bring to their work and they bring to their relationships with their colleagues is really beautiful. I think we do a really good job of that. I think seeing movement on some things, like seeing 65 Delhi, you know, being built with Ruth as a transitional housing project in Guelph. Seeing the money, the operational funding come through for specialized health services and the 24/7 services at 10 Sheldale. These are all things that, you know, we take steps every day around our advocacy and different things. And sometimes it feels like it's not paying off. And then, you know, you get these really great milestones. And so that's one thing we're trying to do is just take time to celebrate some of these things that are happening in the community. Because you never know what the next day or the next hour is going to bring. So taking some time to do that, I think, is really important.
Ruth, same question to you.
It's going to largely be the same answer. I work with a great team. The people that I work with are amazing advocates for all of the communities that they are a part of. That they work with. That's something we believe in really strongly in the community health sector. So people often identify with the communities that they are working with. Mm. I work with such an enthusiastic team who cares so much about justice and dignity for all the individuals that we engage with. And that is incredibly heartening. I also really want to talk about the power of peers. Peer engagement is hugely important to our work and really changes the tone and the culture of our work so much. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of challenging things in our work, and we also find a lot of joy and a lot of humor in our day-to-day interactions in the office. And I really look forward to engaging with people because it's wonderful to be able to do something you believe strongly in, but also people are so generous when you're engaging with them. It really can be a powerful thing.
Yes. And, speaking of building community, Ruth, we look forward to seeing you and the Aqua team becoming a bigger and involved part of the Guelph community here. And Melissa, thank you to you and your staff. Maybe it goes without saying, and maybe it shouldn't, but you know, the work of your team is appreciated and valued, I think, by everyone in Guelph, whether they use your services or not. So, thank you to both of you for joining me today, Ruth Cameron and Melissa Kwiatkowski. The start of a beautiful friendship.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
And once again, that was Melissa Kwiatkowski and Ruth Cameron. If you are a patient receiving HIV or gender-affirming care, or if you take part in the needle exchange programs, you shouldn't notice too much of a change in your service. But if you do have any questions or concerns, You can get in touch with Guelph Community Health at 519-821-6638 or at info@guelphchc.ca. You can also get in touch with Aqua at 519-570-3687, or you can also visit their website at acckwa.com. And that's it for this week's show. We hope you liked it. You can download the Guelph Politicast every Wednesday from Apple, TuneIn, and Spotify. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get an episode of Open Source's Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. You can follow Guelph Politico on social media at Guelph Politico on Twitter and at Politico Guelph on Facebook. You can follow me personally at Adam A. Donaldson on Twitter and Instagram, or send me an email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. If you'd like to help financially support the work of Guelph Politico, you can get all that information at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And finally, for all the latest local political news, you can check out guelphpolitico.ca, and that's where you will find a new episode of this podcast for you next week at this time. And until then, we'll see you next time. We'll be right back.